This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day, a beautiful day to be in this time of worship together. And it's my joy to welcome you into this hour. Whether you're joining us online or here in the sanctuary, we are so glad to be together. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we hope that you have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you and that you feel the love and hospitality of Christ in this place. I would invite all of us to take a moment to register our attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you'll sign in and pass them down. And if you are worshiping online, there should be a link you can place in your browser to register. If you are visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, we invite you to share an email address, a phone number, a mailing address, and give us the opportunity to reach out to you and begin sharing with you the ways that we're trying to live out God's love in the world. Just a few announcements as we gather this morning. Yesterday, a group of our youth left on a trip of service in Macon and Daytona. They will be home on Friday, and Stacy Harwell Dye, Emily Robbins, and other adults are traveling with them. And I invite you to keep them in your prayers. If you think to say a prayer for them each day, that they might meet the Spirit of Christ in this event and in this time together. We will have another one of our large gatherings for folks who are reading through the Bible together. Even if you're not reading through the Bible this year, or if you feel like you're way behind, it doesn't matter. This will be a time for all of us to dig a little more deeply into the prophets, and that will be next Sunday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. downstairs in McWhorter Hall. It's going to be a potluck. We'll provide the meat and the drinks, and you can bring side dishes and desserts, and it will be a wonderful feast. In your insert, there's information about how to sign up so we know how much chicken to buy, if that would help us. Finally, I want to take a moment to celebrate a couple of friends in our congregation and the ministry that they have been part of for a long time. I'm going to invite Reverends Bill Miller and James Sewell to come up. Both of these wonderful men have been part of the congregation at West End as pastors and as part of our worshiping community in their retirement. And you may not know this, but for over 20 years, they have each been going once a month on alternating Sundays to Riverbend Maximum Security Prison to offer the sacrament of Holy Communion, to preach and lead worship in that space and among our brothers who are there at Riverbend. And they are both retiring from that ministry. You will be glad to know that Reverend Stacy Harwell Dye is taking up the mantle, and she will be going once a month to Riverbend and representing all of us as she does so. But I just wanted to take a moment to praise God and to offer gratitude on all of our behalf for your dedication and faithfulness to ministry among the least and the lost. Yes. They were both at the 8:45 service, and James has a 90th birthday party to go to, so we're going to say farewell to them. But now for all of us who remain in this time together, let us open our hearts, minds, our lives to hear from the prophets Amos and Micah as we worship together today.
Thank you. Shout for joy, all the earth. For God's love is everlasting. Sorry about that. Thank y'all. Praise the Lord. Let us go before God with our confessions. Loving God, your grace knows no end, and your love knows no bounds. Yet too often we turn away from your love. We seek comfort instead of justice, malevolence instead of mercy, and selfishness instead of humility. Forgive us for the moments we disregard your tender plea to walk humbly with you. And now let us offer our confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
pray with me the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Old Testament, Amos chapter 5, verses 1, 14 and 15, and 21 through 24. Hear this word that I take up over you in lamentation, O house of Israel. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
invite the grown-ups in the room to be seated. And if there are children who want to come and share a minute or two with me, I'd love for you to join me up here. And if you're worshiping from home, you can get a little closer to your screens. I'm glad to see you. Come on up. Glad to see you. You can bring a grown-up with you if you'd like. Have a seat. Come on up. Glad to see you. Well, you may not know that I have two sisters and one brother, and there's me. I'm the baby of four. And there were times when we were little that we got in trouble. I got in trouble sometimes. We might get in trouble if we said something mean to a brother or sisters, called them a name that wasn't nice, or if we hit them maybe or tried to kick them under the table, we might get in trouble. Or if we did something that our parents told us we shouldn't do. Or if we didn't tell them the truth. All sorts of reasons why we get in trouble. And we all get in trouble sometimes. And when I got in trouble, I had to go to my room. And this was a long time ago when we didn't have iPads and we didn't have phones and things to look at. And I just had to stare at the wall and think about how my parents were disappointed in me. And that was always hard. But as I grew older, I realized that when I got in trouble, it's because my parents loved me, and they want me to be kind to people, and they wanted me to love my brother and my sisters and be generous and share. So sometimes it doesn't feel very good to get in trouble. It doesn't feel very good if our parents get upset with us, but I think it's because they love us and they want us to do the right thing. Miss Beth just read a story from the Bible. And a prophet was speaking and saying to all of God's people that God is disappointed in them. And they're a little bit in trouble. But God loves them and really wants what's best for them. And we come to know that too. So let's pray together. God, we thank you for parents and Sunday school teachers and grandparents and other grown-ups in our lives who help us learn what it means to love and to follow Jesus, to be kind and to share and to be thoughtful. We all mess up sometimes. We all get in trouble sometimes, but that's part of our learning. So help us to be grateful and love you and do our best to love others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all so much for listening. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Will to Children's Church, just down the hallway. It's a lot of fun. When we started our journey through the Bible, well, actually, last fall, as I was planning to take us through the Bible this year, I thought through what books we were going to read. If we started on January 8th, which we did, and we ended on the Sunday before Advent, there was no way we could cover all the books. So I had to make some choices. I had to make some decisions. And that was hard. It wasn't that hard to drop Chronicles, but there are some books that were really hard to let go of. We're not spending time in Daniel. There will be texts in the Minor Prophets that we won't get to, and others in the New Testament that we won't be able to hear from. But when it came to these Minor Prophets, these 12 short books of the prophets, it was really hard to decide which ones to hear on Sunday mornings and which ones to let go. I wanted for sure to hear from Amos because I have this amazing memory of my advisor in divinity school, one of my professors who preached one of the most powerful sermons I've ever heard on the book of Amos. So I thought, well, Amos for sure, put that on the list. And then as I got closer to Amos and I read it, I was like, why am I doing this to myself and to the congregation? Amos is hard. There's a lot of hard stuff in Amos. If you're one of those reading through the Bible and you're up to speed and you've read through Amos, you can testify. Amos speaks a word of the Lord that is predominantly a word of judgment. Have you ever seen in the cartoons the guy standing on the corner with the sign that says the end is near? That's Amos. The basic theme of his prophetic book is the end of Israel is near. Now, scholars tell us that the writings of Amos are probably the oldest prophetic writings that we have. So he was writing at a point earlier in history than most of the other prophets. And it seems that he didn't yet know the full story. In his lifetime, all he knew was that the Assyrian army was threatening from the north, and destruction was coming to Israel. And he felt that the word of the Lord to him was that Israel is about to be destroyed, and here's why. Over and over again in Amos, we hear this construction, because you have fill in the blank, God is about to fill in the blank. But we have the witness of other prophets. We have the witness of the rest of the scriptures that tell us that even the conquering by the Assyrian army was not the end of the story. We know from later prophets and later books that the exiles returned. And we hear in Ezra and Nehemiah about the rebuilding of the temple and the rebuilding of the city. And as Christians, we believe that the scriptures come to their fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ, when God becomes one of us and shows us the way of salvation for the whole world. But Amos didn't have all that. He just had his moment. And for most of his book, it's gloom and doom and judgment. There's a little bit of hope sprinkled in. We heard some of it in the reading, a little bit at the end. But most of it is sending Israel to its room and saying, you have misbehaved, and here's what you did wrong. And it's hard for us to hear that. It's hard for me as a preacher to preach this word of judgment, because I think the church has a long history of judgment and condemnation and pouring that out on people without the good news of grace and redemption. But if you're willing, if you'll go with me into Amos and hear what he has to say, perhaps there is grace and redemption for us after all. So the verses that Beth read for us, you might have noticed I sort of picked and chose a little bit because I didn't want to go too harsh. But if you read the whole text of this chapter, it's rough. Go home and read it. The whole book of Amos will take you 30 minutes. Just put on your crash helmet, because it's not always easy. But he says, love what is good and hate what is evil. Now we hear these words, love and hate. And in the Hebrew, they're not so much about feelings as they are about choices. Choose what is good and reject what is evil. And so we hear that language come up again in verse 21. This is the word of the Lord through the prophet Amos. I hate, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. So here God is saying, I do not choose, I will not accept your festivals and your solemn assemblies. All of this rigmarole that you go through in worship in the temple is emptiness to me. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Throughout the book, Amos has been pointing out how the people of Israel have perverted God's justice and failed to live in righteousness. God's justice in Amos and many of the other prophets is that belief, that vision of the kingdom of God in which all people are created equal and have an opportunity to flourish and to thrive. If you were here last week, you heard Will talk about that everything will live, that abundant life that is for all. And so Amos cries out against the injustices that he sees, legal injustices and economic injustices. He cries out against this justice that's supposed to take place at the city gate, where people come to bring their cases before the elders. And he sees again and again that those who are rich and powerful pass on bribes to the judges, and so the poor are not heard, and justice is perverted and trampled upon. He cries out against the economic injustices of his day. He calls out the cows of Bashan, you can read that earlier in the book, who sit on their comfortable couches and they feast and eat and drink all day in their ivory towers while the poor and the widows and the orphans are left hungry and neglected. They do nothing to repair the world, nothing to live into God's vision of justice and righteousness. Righteousness in the prophets is not so much about moral purity as it is about right relationship. Right relationship with God. Right relationship with others. Right relationship with creation. But these people who are coming into the temple and acting out their religious rituals have hearts that are far from God. And they are divided amongst themselves. And they trample God's good creation. And so Amos shines a spotlight on the hypocrisy that he sees. And maybe it leaves us with the question, what is worship about then? Is God not interested in our worship? After all, we pour a lot of ourselves into worship in our community. We pour time and resources and energy into our music ministry. Our choirs work hard on their anthems. We have two of the best organists in all of Nashville. I pour hours into study and preparation of my sermons. We have people who write liturgies, people who prepare communion, all of that. We come in to worship. Is that not what God wants? Is it social action and not worship? One of the commentaries I read, Donald Gowan, said, the problem in Amos is not worship, it's the worshipers. It's their hearts are not in the right place. And so that issues an invitation to all of us, myself included, to examine our hearts. What are we about when we worship? And I confess, sometimes I'm sitting up here thinking about all the other things. I'm not worshiping God. We forgot that. Oh, this person's over here. Oh, that sermon didn't come out right. Sometimes when I'm preparing a sermon, I think, oh, this is going to be one that I want everybody to hear because I want people to think I'm a good preacher. And if we come in to sing and we want people to hear our voice and know what a good singer we are, or we refuse to sing because we don't want people to hear our voices, that's more about us than about God, isn't it? So it's a temptation for all of us. It reminds me of something that John Wesley said toward the end of his life. His life spanned the 18th century, and in the early days of Methodism, he was really preaching and teaching among the poor, the coal miners. And he set up the Foundry, which was a school for the children of the coal miners that provided microloans to people, that was a ministry to the poor in that community. Social action, the social gospel, was a huge part of the Methodist movement. But as the century went on and the Methodists got to be a little more prosperous with the rise of the middle class, he said toward the end of his life, I'm concerned that the Methodists will be more about the form of religion. We'll have the form of religion without the power. So this is a temptation and a pitfall for God's people in every age and every time, that our worship would be about something else rather than God. So if we ponder that for ourselves, how do we get our hearts right with God? What is it that God wants from us as we come into worship? Well, Micah asks that very question. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, I really want to dig into these words of Micah. In fact, I'm thinking I may have to do a sermon series next year and take a few Sundays on each of these phrases. This morning, we just have to sort of water ski over the surface. But to do justice is an action verb in the Hebrew. It is to do justice, to treat others fairly, to do what we can to shrink the gap, to lift up those who are suffering and heavy burdened for whatever reason, to notice and see the least and the last and the lost, and do what we can to lift them up. It's not just talking about injustice or complaining about it, it is doing justice. Micah says, love kindness. Now, this phrase is a little harder to translate. In English, there are lots of different translations. Love kindness, to love mercy, to love faithfully, to have compassion continually, all sorts of ways to translate it. I think my favorite is to love mercy. There's something in the word chesed, mercy, kindness, that implies a covenant. And in the covenant we have with God, we have received kindness and mercy from God. Mercy, love, and forgiveness and acceptance that is not necessarily deserved, but is just given to us. And because of that, we then are called to be people of mercy, to forgive and love and include others, whether or not they deserve it. To love mercy. Next week, we're going to hear about the prophet Jonah, who did not love God's mercy. In fact, he resented it, but we'll talk about that next week. To love mercy. And finally, walk humbly with your God. Walk with God. So that it's not just worshiping on Sunday, and you know this, you live this, it's living it out Monday through Saturday. Walking with God, growing in relationship and love with the living God, being open to the fact that God might transform us, God might change our minds about some things, God might have some things to show us and surprise us through the most surprising people and places. Walk humbly with God, open always to learning. Remembering that we don't own God. God walks with us every day. So Amos is calling the people of God to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. To take part in a living relationship with God every single day. And every single day to be doing justice and loving mercy. And so we do. When you go out from this place, wherever you spend your time, Monday through Saturday, you will have opportunities to do justice and to love mercy and to show God's kindness and love. Wherever you go, in big and small ways, in social ways and individual ways. And then we come back next Sunday and we gather. And we open our mouths to sing our praises to God who has brought us through another week. Our choir will be practicing their singing, fine-tuning it as best they can as an offering to the living God. I'll be working on my sermon and studying the scriptures, not because I want to be praised, but because I want to walk with God and discover God in the scriptures. And you will come and offer your praise and worship and thanksgiving to the God who is walking with us. And so today, I give thanks for Amos. I give thanks for that voice that calls us to account, who reminds us what's most important. And may we all recommit ourselves to walking humbly, to loving mercy, and to doing justice.
As we respond to the word, I invite you to stand as we say together our affirmation of faith as found in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God, We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you please be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to be prayed for throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website, or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, you can fill out the gray cards that are in the pew racks in front of you. Today we celebrate. We celebrate with the rose on the altar the birth of Caroline Abigail Mays, born on July 7th to Anna and Riley Mays. And I also want to point your attention to the prayer requests that are in the insert. Please keep those situations and names in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence in each situation. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Lord, today we acknowledge your greatness. Even before we were a glimmer in our parents' eyes, you knew us. Our strengths, our weaknesses, the things that would get us out of bed each day, and the things that would threaten to keep us stagnant. For this, Lord, we stand in awe of you. In awe of the grace with which you deal with us and the love that pours over us unconditionally. And Lord, today we come with thanks in our hearts. Thanks for who you are and all you have done. We give thanks that you have called us to be a part of fulfilling your mission of restoring our world and of restoring lives. You have shown us how to live each day with you and others as the forefront of our hearts and minds. And today we draw strength from gathering together and remembering those truths. Lord, may we be stronger when we leave this place. Strength that is found in purpose. Strength that is found when our hearts are filled with your love. And strength that gives itself away in order to be filled. As we thank you today, we offer ourselves to you. All of the parts of our lives that keep us awake at night, as well as those things that help us to sleep soundly. We trust in you today, Lord, and as we open our hearts to you, we offer those things back to you. Lord, it's with that trust that we now, as a gathered community, pray in unity the words you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather together our gifts and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online, you are invited to give via the options on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we'll offer plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
One of the wonderful things about being part of this community is when you get to see the community expand and grow. Recently, we had a membership class, a one-day membership class. We had almost 20 people in that class, which is very exciting. And we had a number of folks that joined the church in the early service. We had a baptism in the early service, which is a wonderful way to grow this family. And today, at this service, we're welcoming Maggie Ward into our family. She comes to us from another UMC here in Nashville. She's manager of corporate giving at the Nashville Public Library Foundation, and as you can see, wonderfully sings in our choir. One of the things she loves to do is knit, so we'll see about getting you connected to our Creative Hands Knitting and Crocheting group. Maggie, we are thankful that you have made this community your home and pray that God's light shines through you in powerful ways. So I ask you this question. As a member of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. And to all of us gathered here, would you please stand in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest member? Family of God, Maggie Ward, now entrusted to your love and care, do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
that Charles Wesley sure knew how to help us sing and help us pray. We have worshiped God this day with full hearts and gratitude and joy. And now let us go forth from this place to do justice, to love kindness, and to continue walking humbly with our God. Amen.